Welcome to Hope Is Here, bringing hope to those struggling with life's difficult situations.
Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and we're talking about that dirty four-letter word this week, wait. Wait. Some of you are kind of getting a little nervous, like, what is he going to share? But when I said wait, you're like, oh, ouch. That is one, and as humans, followers of Jesus, I don't think we like to wait. I know I don't. And that's why this topic, I feel like God's been teaching me a little bit of patience lately in some areas in my life. And maybe today you're, yep, me too, Greg. I'm in a season of waiting. And yesterday we talked about some reasons why we have to wait. We talked about four benefits of waiting. And if you missed yesterday's program, really want to encourage you to go back and catch that 14-minute program. You can go to our website, hopeisheretoday.org. That's hopeisheretoday.org, and catch all of our programs, over 1,000 that we've been blessed to do over the past 5.5 years. Or if you listen to podcasts, whatever platform you listen to, we're on all of those. I also want to remind you, we have a YouTube channel, and hope that you'll subscribe to that. Most of our programs are on that. You can find our YouTube channel simply at Hope Is Here, and then type in my name, Greg Horn, H-O-R-N. Also, don't miss those one-minute cups of hope that we do. So many people love to start their day out with those. We're available on those on TikTok, on Instagram. Would encourage you to check in Twitter. And you can find those simply at Hope Is Here, L-E-X. That's Hope Is Here, L-E-X, for that one-minute daily cup of hope. But today, I want to talk to you about five takeaways during a season of waiting that we can learn and apply in our lives. I know a lot of people like to take notes, so I want to encourage you to write these down. Five takeaways during a season of waiting. The first thing is that, the first takeaway, a waiting season is not an inactive season. Let's say it again, because I'm sure some of you are like, I should have used the Q-tips this morning. Did he say what I thought he said? A waiting season is not an inactive season. That is correct. That's what I said. And the reason I say that is because I think a lot of times with the word wait, yes, we might have to physically sometimes wait, especially if we're in a drive-through line or the checkout line at the grocery store. But a lot of times we're just waiting on decisions from other people to make that maybe impact us. And yet, sometimes we're waiting doesn't mean that we're inactive. And I want you to think about the example of Jesus. I mean, Jesus didn't start his ministry till he was 30. Now, if you and I are writing the book, once he turned 18, you know, hey, let's get this thing started, get this ministry started. Yet, God was working in Jesus' life, and we were learning that Jesus was going to have to go through some of the same challenges that we do. Family issues, sibling rivalries, having a J-O-B, okay? I mean, my goodness. Think about all the things that you experienced in your life before the age of 30. I mean, so much of what we are is molded and we're formed by the time we're 30. Thankfully, there's still opportunities to grow and change. And, man, I've tried to do that a lot since my 30th birthday, which has been many seasons ago. But the fact of the matter is, there's a lot of life that happens before 30 if we're blessed to live that long. And so I want to remind you that in God's plan, you know, I'm sorry, son, but you're going to have to wait till 30 before you start what you were called for. Yet in 3 years, we know Jesus changed the world forever. I mean, our birth dates, mine, that birthday just celebrated, one on June 23rd, was all dictated our calendar on before Christ and after his death. But he had to wait till he was 30. And then for 3 years, God said, I'm going to change everything. And so be patient if you're in a season of waiting. It does not mean it's a bad thing, but it doesn't mean that you're inactive. You're not doing anything. So that asking God, why am I waiting? I would encourage you to ask him, what is it you want me to learn during this season of waiting? And one of the things I've learned now, being over the age of 50 plus being in ministry now for over 20 years, that, you know, sometimes it's not about more information, it's about application, which leads to transformation. You're like, wow, Greg, help me with that. Well, I know people that they go to Bible studies all the time and they know their Bible inside and out, but in all honesty, you don't see the application in some of the areas of their life. And when you start applying it, friends, you'll see transformation. And I think nothing brings God more glory than when somebody sees somebody's life that is transformed. And we've shared hundreds of testimonies of people that have had changed lives, transformed lives, have overcome great obstacles. You're going to hear some coming up the next 2 days as we have a guest, Laura Carr, the executive director of Lexington Rescue Mission. And you're just going to hear some stories of people that have just been transformed because of God's grace and his love. But for some of you today, most of you that listen and are followers of Jesus, if you're not, man, I'm so great that you're listening. And no matter where you're at in your spiritual journey, man, we're always so glad to have people with us when they're just trying to grow in their faith and learn about a personal relationship with Jesus. But I know a majority of our listeners are longtime followers of Jesus and, you know, mature in their faith, or maybe though you need to grow and mature more. Maybe you've kind of got stuck in a place and yet you just keep doing Bible studies, yet you're not applying what you already know. And so maybe stepping on your toes today, but I believe somebody listening to God saying, hey, it's not about more information. You know my word, but it's about you applying it in your life. And when you do, friends, here's the best part. You will get transformation. It may not be overnight. I have found, as I've shared on this program several times over the past 5.5 years, I don't think God's in the microwave business. He's not in the Amazon business where, you know, you punch a button and you got your meal, and 3 minutes later, or you click a few buttons on your website, on your phone, and next thing you know, you've got something at your doorstep the next day. I think God's in the crock pot business, okay? I mean, you know, let's be honest. A meal out of the microwave or the crock pot, it's a no-brainer. Tastes better than something that's been in the crock pot all day. And so just be encouraged that sometimes that transformation, even though you apply it, start to apply in your life, but I promise you over time, it will transform your life. A second takeaway: when you're in a season of waiting, just do the next right thing. Just do the next right thing. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 says, "To obey is better than sacrifice." And I know you're saying, well, what do you mean by doing the next right thing? Well, sometimes you're waiting on an answer. Maybe it's a big situation in your life, okay? About a job situation. Do you sell your house? You know, there's so many things that we have to wait on that are big decisions. But sometimes God's just saying, you know, I want you to just do the simple thing. Like, God keeps laying somebody on your heart to call and check on them, and you just keep ignoring it. You don't do that. Make that phone call. Okay, or maybe it's getting a gift card for a single parent that you know is struggling and doing that, or mowing the yard for a single mom, okay, or just calling up a widow, somebody that's recently widowed, or somebody that maybe has been a widow for a while and their children, they don't have a lot of contact with them, but you know, God's just saying, you know, I want you to call and check on them. And sometimes God's just saying, hey, I just want you to be obedient with one small step, and then I'll give you the next step. And the next. And for some of you right now, the reason you're in the season of waiting, you've not done the one thing that God has kindly told you to do. Maybe now it's been a while. He's been kind of challenging, turning up the volume a little bit. But you've kind of dug in and your pride. Yeah, pride. P-R-I-D-E. And I can say it because I've been there. Oh, my goodness. God's had to humble me numerous times. But sometimes it's simply when you're in a season of waiting, it's because you're not doing the simple next right thing. Maybe it's offering forgiveness to somebody that's hurt you. But friends, the freedom will happen when you do that. So I want to encourage you to be obedient. Just do the next right thing. Henry Blackaby, who wrote one of my favorite Bible studies, Experiencing God, says the truth is that God can do anything he pleases through an ordinary person who is fully dedicated to him. So I got to ask you today, who are you dedicated to, yourself or to God? A third takeaway: when you're in a season of waiting, sometimes God is working someone else's life or situation before he moves you on to the next step. Oh, I've seen that so many times in my life and friends and family members and other people's lives. And sometimes it's not something that God's doing to punish you or discipline you. He's working in somebody else's life. That's why he can't move in a situation you've been praying about. And the thing you can know, just because you can't see God working, just because you can't feel him working, just because you can't see the sunshine because of the clouds, know what Jesus said in John 5:17. My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. Can I get a witness on that? My goodness, that's so good. Jesus is working and God is always working, whether you can see him or feel him. Trust him today. Remember that simple Bible verse, we walk by faith and not by sight. A fourth takeaway, when you're in a season of waiting, don't play the compare game, just walk your race. Oh, we talk about the compare game probably at least once a month here on Hope Is Here. And that reason I do is because I've been guilty of playing it in my life. And I've seen the enemy just steal so many hopes and dreams of other people and their joy because they play that compare game. And I have to remind you again, you know what happens when you play the compare game? Whatever measuring stick you're using, either one, if you're doing a little better in whatever area you're measuring, what house you live in, where your kids go to school, what car you drive, I mean, you know, where you go on vacations, whatever, and social media, there's a lot of good things, but so many times, you know, we compare because everybody puts the highlight reel of their lives on social media, right? And so we just get so discouraged. And man, I want to encourage you today when you're season of waiting, don't play that compare game. Well, so-and-so didn't have to wait this long to get that. Maybe it's a job promotion. I mean, there's so many things we have to wait on. I could go on and on, but we don't have much time left today. But I want to encourage you, don't play the compare game, because one, pride sets in if you're doing better on whatever measuring stick you're using, or if you're not doing as well, then self-pity sets in. And you do that, woe is me. And man, I've been guilty of doing that. Nobody can throw a pity party as good as Greg Horn. And yet, friends, that's what the enemy wants you to do, is play that compare game. Well, if God really loved you while you're in this season of waiting, then it wouldn't happen, because so-and-so got their answer and got what they were wanting a lot quicker, and you've been waiting a lot longer than them. God must not love you. Friends, that's a lie straight from the pit of hell. And so I'm encouraging you today, don't play the compare game and just walk your race. Former President Theodore Roosevelt has this great quote. It's been around for many, many years, but it's one of my favorites. Comparison is the thief of joy. Say that one more time. Comparison is the thief of joy, and that is so, so true. All right, we're talking about five takeaways during a season of waiting. Let me recap the first four real quick. A waiting season is not an inactive season. Number two, just do the next right thing. Just do the next right thing when you're in a season of waiting. And it's a lot of times a very simple thing. Third thing, sometimes God is working in someone else's life or situation before he moves you on to the next step. The fourth takeaway during a season of waiting, we just talked about, don't play the compare game. Just run or walk your race. Or as my dad used to say, that's not in your box. Stay in your box, son. And the fifth and final takeaway during a season of waiting, God's word does not have an expiration date. One more time. God's word does not have an expiration date. You know, you used to have the grocery store. We had over 20,000 items. And man, that was the kiss of death when you found something that expired. And of course, customers would always remind you, and I understand that, but we were always checking, especially dairy products and things. And yet, I want to remind you, friend, that God's word, it does not expire. Not like the things that we produce that are man-made, okay? And a verse that has helped me so many times when I wanted to give up, when I wanted to quit, and when I was hopeless is Galatians chapter 6:9. And I know that this is a word for somebody today. Galatians 6:9 says, "Do not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time you will reap a harvest if you do not give up." Say that one more time. Do not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time, you'll reap a harvest if you do not give up. My name's Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.
Thank you for listening to Hope Is Here podcast. To listen to one of our previous programs or to make a tax-deductible donation, please go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. We have been blessed by one of our faithful listeners and ministry partners to be offered a $10,000 matching gift this summer through August 31st. If you have been blessed by Hope Is Here Ministries, would you consider making a donation this summer? Please go to our website, hopeishere.today, to make a secure online donation or to mail a check. All donations are tax deductible and greatly appreciated. Please make your donation today to help us fully utilize this $10,000 matching grant at hopeishere.today. Thank you.